Welcome back to the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas to improve government effectiveness. I'd like to welcome our next guest, Professor Sukumar Gaudapati, author of the IBM Center report, Using Geographic Information Systems to Increase Citizen Engagement. Professor, would you describe for us geographic information systems?
Sure. Geographic information systems, which is what GIS stands for, these are a whole set of technology tools that show the spatial information visually, and we can use it also to conduct spatial analysis. This is useful because when we show things on map, they are understandable to people very easily. As you know, pictures speak 1,000 words. So in very simple terms, it's something which analyzes spatial information.
In your report, you trace the evolution of the use of geographic information systems, GIS, in government, with a focus on the use of GIS by local government. Could you give us a sense of the evolution of these systems?
There are three waves that I identified in the report, and this is broadly what I think of as the evolution of the GIS technology. The first wave is that of the traditional desktop GIS, which is essentially standalone GIS, accessible to only the person who is working on that particular computer. But since then, because of the internet and the explosion of the internet in 1990s, GIS was adapted to the internet into a second wave, what I call the web GIS. The web GIS operates on something that operates on the internet, but it requires a server which is dedicated for that purpose from the organization. So if an agency were to show some spatial information, it would need to set up a server for that particular purpose. But coming from that to the third wave is what I call the adaptation of GIS to the Web 2.0 era, what I call the Geospatial Web 2.0 platform, where the GIS tools are being used through platforms like Google Maps, Google Earth, where spatial information could be mashed up with these platforms.
The focus of your report, Professor, is on the prospects of a geospatial Web 2.0 platform for citizen-oriented public services. Would you outline the four substantial areas of citizen-oriented services using GIS applications?
The four areas that I highlighted in the report are, first, the citizen-oriented transit information. Transit involves essentially buses, trains, and other forms of public transit. And what the geospatial web has been adapted to in that sense is to give real-time information about routes, stops, when bus or train would arrive at a particular place. And users can do that interactively over the phone or over the computer. A second application is that of the citizen relationship management, which is essentially used in local government 311 services. Here, the geospatial web is used along with other kinds of applications to provide real-time information on services and also for citizens to report any kinds of physical issues. And in this sense, although the local governments are not as advanced, there are a number of nonprofit agencies which have also come up to provide that particular service. A very good example of that comes out of UK called fixmystreet.com. But a similar kind of organizations have also come up in US. One of them is the cclickfix.com, which is essentially a platform for people to report physical problems. A third use is that of the voluntary geographic information. What VGI is, and this is a term coined by Michael Goodchild, a well-known geographer at UC Santa Barbara, it is the use of web to create, assemble, and disseminate geographic information voluntarily by individuals. So people can upload information about a particular place, and this lends itself very well to participatory GIS. And participatory GIS is very helpful in an environment where governments are not able to fund mapping projects as much. A fourth use which I talk about is that of the use of geospatial web in planning and decision making. However, the use of geospatial web 2.0 in this particular area is not as advanced as the other three areas. There is still scope for growth in this particular area. One good example of this, which I highlight, is that of the Portland Metro's Build a System tool, which was a tool developed for Portland Metro to plan for high-capacity transit over the next 40 years. And if we go to the web, people can choose the kind of routes which would be planned for over the next 40 years so that this particular information goes to the decision makers and they can make a more informed decision.
Great, Professor. One part of your report, which I found very interesting, picks up on the idea of citizen participation in decision making. Would you outline for us some of the challenges and, in fact, some of the opportunities for the future of GIS-enabled citizen participation in decision-making?
GIS-enabled participation and decision-making has enormous opportunities in this particular area of planning and decision-making. Technologically, there are several opportunities. And, in fact, I don't think there are as much of technological problems as there are other institutional problems. And those kinds of challenges have been highlighted by a number of others too, some of which essentially comes down to the organizational context in which the GIS is adopted, and public participation is also envisaged. So in that sense, it's more an issue of how the organization views public participation rather than a technical problem of the GIS itself. If the organization values public participation, GIS can be installed for the spatial decision-making processes. But more than that, also there are other kinds of challenges. There could be legal challenges. That is, this is a new technology. The processes for these have not yet been very well structured or set up. So this is a new terrain. So we have to look at what the legal implications of that would be. Another challenge would be that of digital divide, not necessarily in terms of people not having access to the internet or the GIS technology, but in terms of using that technology to make more informed decision making on the part of the public. A third and fourth challenge is that of the technology, not in terms of the GIS technology itself, but in terms of standards, that there are not very well established standards yet for all of the things which we do on the GIS. And we can see that especially in the spatial data infrastructure. A number of local governments have started to do that, but we have to look at how that evolves over the next few years. A last challenge is that of the governance. As I was saying before, it really depends on the organizational culture. So if the organization does value participation, implementing GIS for the spatial component of those decisions would be much easier.
Professor, it's a very timely topic and a very interesting topic. We are so filled with so much information and data. The ability to overlay it geospatially actually makes the analytics even more understandable in my mind. What prompted you to pursue research in this area?
There has been a research which has been going on in this particular area. As you know, GIS is considered more of a technology, but since the 90s, there has also been an effort to look at how this technology is being used in the public domain and how participation happens. And there's a whole area of public participation, GIS, which has evolved out of that, where a number of geographers and planners are interested in. I myself am a planner, but I'm in the public administration department. And when I looked at this from the government perspective, and especially the local government perspective, I thought there was not so much of an attention being paid from a public administration perspective as to how GIS could be adopted by local governments for public participation. So it's that particular gap that I was trying to fill out here in this report.
Professor, are there specific applications of GIS technology at the local level that really illustrates perfectly its potential and valuable use?
That's the interesting part. There is really no local government yet which fully captures all of the technological capabilities of GIS to get public participation. Even Portland Metro, which I do highlight as a good case, they only went so far. That is, they used the GIS for providing the spatial information, but they did not use the GIS to get the people's preferences on routes directly. And I'm sure Portland Metro had good reasons. I did speak with one of the representatives from Portland Metro, and he did mention some of those reasons. Yet, as we go forward, I think that's one of those areas that we will see being developed further. I hope there would be a number of other local governments which will start to adopt this, and I think there could be those cities which are more technologically advanced, not only in terms of the government, but also with people, as in San Francisco, which could adopt this for a public participation process. But we have to see that evolve. And I have not seen yet a case where there is a full use of the capabilities of the Geospatial Web 2.0.
Professor, let's transition to the future. Would you outline for us what you see are the future trends in the application of Geospatial Web 2.0 platforms?
The three trends in the future for the GIS are, the very first being the increased transparency. That is, as local governments and even state governments perhaps adapt to the Web 2.0 world, and with the openness of government, these agencies would make available the geospatial data available to the public in a direct standard format. The standardization of the format is an issue. For example, in transit world, it has been sorted out with the general transit feed specification, what used to be the Google Transit Feed Specification, the GTFS. Similar kinds of standards have to evolve for the other areas for making the geospatial data available. Second area is that of engaging citizens. That is, with the volunteer geographic information, there is good prospects for the local governments to tap into that kind of a voluntary information from the field, which could potentially reduce the effort that the local governments have to put for identifying the physical problems and going out into the field. A third area is that of increasing participation. As we talked earlier, that this is one of the areas which is not fully developed. So there is tremendous scope for adapting the Geospatial Web 2.0 for increasing participation. And there are likely to be far more cities which could be engaged in this kind of activity.
Professor, that's a wonderful perspective, and I want to thank you for joining us today. Your report continues the IBM Center's long-term interest in enhancing citizen participation in government decision-making, and we hope this report serves as a useful tool and informative introduction to the potential use of geographic information systems as a tool to improve citizen participation in government at all levels.
The scope of the GIS is increasing very, very fast, and things change. Even since I wrote the report, there have been additional platforms that have come up, which is quite interesting. So this is a very, very fast area of growth.
I hope you've enjoyed the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas to improve government effectiveness with Dr. David Wild, Dr. Vicky Grant, and Professor Sukumar Ganapati. You may order or download a free copy of each report profiled on today's show at businessofgovernment.org. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.